Just like yesterday, we started 2026, and here we are in the third month already. And then I want to appreciate my father in the Lord, your father, Pastor Alexander Kokobili, wherever he is. God bless you, Father. And the resident pastor who has given me the power to be here today. Many years ago, I did a teaching 6 or 7 years, no, maybe 6 years ago up there. I remember, where is Mrs. Ofori? She's not here. I want to believe that Sister Mary was there. I remember very well that Dr. Bedu was there as well. And 6 years ago, I don't know where you were. Where were you 6 years ago? You were in Bologna. You were in Ghana 6 years ago, eating banku and... Yes. So because of you, I'm going to teach the word again. Amen. I'm going to be doing a two-part teaching today by God's grace. I'm going to be doing half today, and God willing, if the resident pastor gives me the opportunity to teach again, God willing, next week I'll continue with the rest. And then, okay, I thought she was talking to me. No, no, she's interpreting. So let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Oh, come on here. Okay, my face is not picking up. Chapter 28. I don't know where my list is. The verse number 9. Let's start from 8 and I'll read up to 10. I'm going to be talking about a short teaching. I'm not going to preach, I'm going to teach. And I hope that I'll have another site to teach as well. Isaiah 28, the verse number 8. Reading from the NKJV. I'm reading down to 10. For all the tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is to eat. Whom will he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Okay, so I assume that a lot of people are not in the church today. So, hallelujah. Okay, so I'm doing precept upon precept today. God willing, next week I'll do line. No, I'll do here a little, there a little. Amen. Everybody say precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Great. Today I have a very active class. Sister Winifred had a very good class. I'm assuming that I also will have that ketsi. Have the privilege of enjoying that ketsi egg too. Hallelujah. Now, this was the prophet Isaiah prophesying on the streets of Jerusalem. And God had sent him to prophesy to his people that is an impending danger because of their apostasy. Now, this scripture connotes and it talks of the other prophets who were complicit in the very thing. You know you are in trouble today, right? After church, see me. And see me with another person. Oh, I won't mention anybody's name. And then, these people were actually mocking Isaiah because they were complicit in the very things that Isaiah was preaching about and prophesying that this, because of your hard-heartedness, you are not listening to God and there is an impending danger. Now, this is what they said. For precept might be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little,
there a little. That means that they were just making fun of him. You are talking too much. Now, the same thing that you are talking about, you've been talking about, you are talking about, you are talking about. Give me the previous verse. He said, who is he going to take knowledge? In other words, whatever you are talking about, nonsense. We have not even, like, we don't even realize that you exist. Whatever you are talking about.
It's just like somebody says, Asubesi is here. Now, if you do not understand Asubesi, please consult your Google. Hallelujah.
Now, a precept upon must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Now, the very reason why these guys are said mocking the prophet was because they were very complicit in the very thing that they were teaching about, idol worship.
And then you're within the Bible study, we spoke about the defilement of the body. It's not just the body alone, but idol worship is also a form of defiling the body, because that's the temple of Elohim.
Now, you pick it from here. So what is precept? So let's diagnose this short scripture. And like I said, this very short scripture, I'm teaching two lessons from it. The first I have titled Precept Upon Precept. That even though they were mocking him, he connoted how Isaiah presented the message and the gospel of God, the prophetic word. He was speaking over and over again, telling them that indeed something is about to happen.
It's about you seeing me. It's about you standing here talking every time, and you thinking, then what is all this that we're talking about all the time?
But it was the way describing exactly how Isaiah was also presenting the message. Now, it's a convention, a laid down principle, something that exists. So the word of God comes to us in the form of precept. It comes unto us bit by bit. Precept upon precept. So it means that you do not change a precept. It is already in existence. You only have to work with it. It's just like the law of gravity. Now, it's either you respect the word, the Lord, or the law of gravity. The law of gravity. Or it deals with you. Because if you stand somewhere up here and you jump down, you might not be so lucky even to learn the law again, because the law will deal with you. And so, precept is a conscious and a convention, a laid down principle. It's just like if you eat, your belly will get full. It is there. You only have to work with it. It means that if you don't eat, your stomach will be empty. Now, what is line? Line is just like a rule.
In basic school, we used to have what we call ruler. A rule. Some used to call rule, others call ruler. I don't know if it's still there.
But a line is a rule. So God's word come to us also as a rule. It comes to us as a law, and that you would have to follow it. Hello? So the prophet Isaiah presented the prophetic word of an impending danger, that something dangerous is about to happen. But may you never be caught in something dangerous. I said, may you never be caught wanting in the name of Jesus. Now, if you happen to be in a situation and then a prophet says that something dangerous is about to come,
Okay.
All right, I see. So I, for the sake of online people, including my father, my own father there. So the system, don't forget, if you did not catch anything at all, just know that I said a precept is a convention, is something that has been put in place already. You have to work with it. A line is more like a rule, a law that has to be done. Now God says in the scripture we read, the verse number 12 to 13, that I taught you my word and presented them to you in precept upon precept. In other words, every day Pastor Morris is preaching, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Pastor Alex, sometimes it's somebody else, but the word is coming precept upon precept. For precept must be upon precept. Give me the verse number 12 down to 13. A principle is what you do with it. Now this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing, yet they will not hear. Yet they will not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward. You hear me? Now that God is telling us that the word has always been coming to us. Now if you are not changing something, it's about to happen to you, and you might have your own self to blame. And it said to be broken and snared and caught. Oh, hallelujah. I hope somebody's hearing me. God says that his word is presented to us precept upon precept, and we've got to follow that. Hallelujah. Now, in this whole passage, I summarize that into three items. Number one, it is talking about repetition. Now, you can see even from the verse number 12, it said, verse number 13, this same thing was said in the verse number 9 and 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, verse number 13 captures the same thing. Now, it talks about repetition. Now, hear me. Now, if you want to make anything of a legacy in life, if you want to be a master of anything, it's got to be a moment and a time that you commit to doing something repetitively. Hallelujah. Remember in the book of Matthew chapter 26, I believe the verse number 44, please. Matthew 26:44. The Bible says Jesus returned to his disciples, and then when he came back meeting them to sleep, he went back to pray saying the same words. It means that even Jesus, come on here, the precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. If you're going to build something of a legacy, you must commit to. Now, he also talks about number two. Hear me. Do not lose track. I've talked about repetition in the same scripture. Now, the scripture also talks about regularity. Regularity. It means that you would have to do something regularly. Now, sometimes we are good at repeating, but we do not do them regularly. Hello? So somebody knows how to recite the Lord's Prayer, but they don't pray very regularly. And then those are two different things. To repeat and to do it regularly are different things. And the third thing it talks about is about routine. Everybody say routine. Now for anything, now if you want to achieve anything nice, beautiful. So if you want to be a champion, you don't train once. You do it repetitively. You do it regularly. And you make it a routine of you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And routine, without routine, none of us will be existing. Without routine, all of us will be dead or will not even live. Why? Think about the routine of the earth revolving around the sun. The routine of the waves of the sea. The routine of seasons. Everything about life is about routine. So it means that something ceases the routine of your heartbeat. Imagine if your heart stops beating now. Your heart says, I've been pumping blood to all parts of your body for the past 26 years. I'm tired. I won't do it again. Hallelujah. So, the prophet presented the word of God, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, bit by bit. And so, as Christians, come on here. For everything that we are doing, we must commit. If you desire a very beautiful home, as a married couple, you must do things repetitively. You must do it regularly, and you must do it routinely. So if you see a beautiful marriage of 20 years, and you say, I desire that my marriage will be like this, it doesn't happen by chance. 20 years of constant forgiveness, 20 years of constant ignoring of things, 20 years of complimenting when you're not supposed to compliment, 20 years when the food is not nice and you are saying the food is nice. Hallelujah. Repetition, regularity, and then routine. Hallelujah. Now this sums up what I want to put across today. Now before I go to my summary, go to Psalm 119, I believe. And that is the longest psalm. So if you are not there, then I know you are not there. The longest psalm in the Bible. Or the longest scripture for sure. Psalm 119, right? The verse number 9, 100 first. 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep what? Hello? The psalmist said, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your what? Give me 104, verse number 104. Go ahead, sir. 104. Let's run fast. Through your, and then the next one says what? I get what? Hallelujah. Then the psalmist said, that is what I said before in the initial addressing of introduction to my message. I said, God's word come to us in the form of precepts. And the psalmist is connecting to what saying that through your precepts I get understanding. Remember, the Bible says at the entrance of God's words bringeth what? Light. And gives understanding to who? Hallelujah. And then finally, in the verse number 110, Dr. Kwekubedu, who is that lady sitting at the back? Can you please come? Please come. I want to see her. Do you know me? Oh, okay. Please sit. I know her. So I can continue my message. 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your. Oh, come on. Do I have a class here? Yet I have not strayed from your. It means that we, even as we move about in our offices, in our homes, in an everyday endeavors, we come across this. But the psalmist is teaching us that we should not stray because of the precepts of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This one tells us the lesson for life. That everything that we are doing, we should be doing that regularly, repetitively, and as a routine of our lives. You cannot just be a champion without following the precept. repetition, regularity, and then routinely. Now the life rule over here within this short scripture also tells us that you cannot be a champion and move away from the fundamental principles of life. You can be the best mathematician today, but you cannot divert. You cannot tell me that you've forgotten 1 plus 1. Now, once you start with 1 plus 1 because that's the basic principle, and that is what you build upon, precept upon precept, and then the best mathematician still. So you cannot be so spiritual enough to tell me that you don't need Jesus again. You cannot be so spiritual that you don't want to pray again. Everything must be built line by line, precept upon precept, to build a legacy. The Bible says that a good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. So Dr. Baku, once I'm calling you doctor, it means that you have to be doing PhD very soon. You can't be taking my doctor for free. Now Dr. Baku's children's children, if he wants to leave a legacy, this one you are playing, you cannot be playing and say you are, as you are building, and I believe that you know that there are people up there. So line upon line, precept upon precept. Now this man cannot say that he knows all the keys in music, so he forgets it, and that's where he is. If he wants to be a champion, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Now, as I bring my message to a close, look at the two critical fundamental principles of life, of God, to by extension. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, the verse number 20 to 22, this is something that everybody knows. Genesis 8, 20 to 22. Two sides of it. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Go ahead, say. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man, of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing I have done. The next one said, while the earth remains, everybody come on, let's read together. While the earth remains, Hallelujah. Now God put this scripture to say that, you see, that I told you about the routine of seasons. And here God is re-echoing unto us that while the earth remains, there's something called seed time. There's another thing called harvest time. And this tells what takes me to what I want to tell you about the two critical principles, fundamental principles of life that I've talked about. The number one, the principle of reciprocity, the principle of reciprocity. It means that you are doing something with the hope that you are getting something back. Hello? So you are studying that one day you become a champion of whatever you are desiring to be. You are going on jogging or trotting or training because you want to be a champion athlete one day. That is the principle of reciprocity. Like I mentioned before, if you're married here before, you know that sometimes when you, I'm not looking at you. Let me. Where's Dr. Divine? Please, let's call him after church. Yeah, because he's troubled. Okay, because it's so unlike him. Now, those who have married before will testify that at a point in time, within the first few months and few years of your life, sometimes you just woke up and say, "Why did I even end up with this one?" We say, hey, Pastor Morris, one day, I mean, sometimes you will fight and fight and fight, begin to, why did I even marry you? Do I lie? Mrs. Obina. Sometimes there's so much tension in the place that all you hear is good morning. How are you? Good morning. They doesn't have a response. How are you? But see, The Bible says that while the earth remains, seed time, harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall never cease. Now hear me. As I said, now this one connotes the principle of reciprocity. In other words, whatever you are sowing at any point in time, there's something called seed time. Now, if you do not sow at harvest time, you have nothing to harvest. If you do not train today, if you do not study today, if you do not save today, as Christians, the very one dangerous thing that we bear, or we carry across, we do have that penchant attitude of instant gratification. Oh, my money is small. The salary is just 20,000 Czech crowns. One day, I'll tell you a story. I think it's something I've mentioned over and over again. It's that my own testimony. One day, my girl asked me something, and I was just turning up and down. And so, all that money, what do you use your money for? Have you heard that before? What do you use your money for? Because I don't ask money from you, so where is your money now? If I want 10,000 pounds, you can't give me 10,000 pounds. What do you use your money for? And this was pre-COVID. I'm telling you. When COVID came, then I knew that she was not, in quotes, blowing me shit, but it was the moment to reason and know that now you are throwing away monies that otherwise you could have saved. Now, the God is saying that at any point in time in our life, there's something called seed time. And you have to sow. If you do not have a job, God says there's a seed time. Next week, God willing, if I have the opportunity to teach, look, God willing, I'm going to tell you a very practical thing about my life. And this happened just 5 months ago. And it dragged on for like 4, 5, 6 months. And it was a terror. But there is, in the moment of terror, God said there's a seed time. You sow what you have. I remember the other time in the book of Exodus, he told Moses, cried unto him. They said, why criest thou unto me? And he said, God, the people are chasing me. I don't have nothing. He said, what do you have in your hand? He said, the staff. And he said, the staff in your hand is enough to turn things around. Now, you may not have the office job some people do have, any of hundreds of thousands, but that is the moment you have to build precept upon precept, line upon line. Am I talking to somebody here today? Because the earth remains. It's a seed time. It's a harvest time. Many years ago, I preached a message with the title, Grace and Works. Grace and Works, right here in this room. And I spoke about the fact that people do think, okay, let me see my time, okay. People do think that, okay, just by impartation, everything works. But God said, there's a seed time. There's a harvest time. There's a seed. There's something little you have in your hand. Maybe you know how to crack jokes. Maybe you know how to write. Maybe you know how to sing. Maybe you're just earning a little over 12,000 Czech crowns. But that moment will come. It is called harvest time. And if you have not sown anything during the harvest time, you reap nothing. You want to leave an inheritance for your children's children? You want to have a very beautiful, beautiful life? Even in your retirement, do you know that there are Christians who, maybe they may not be here, but there are people who every year they want to change their phone because iPhone has released. Somebody texted me that Samsung has released S26 Ultra and S26 Plus. So what they are thinking about is that every year, let them release so they're going to buy. Now God knows that you are a fool. Hello? The little money you have, you are spending it. Now, I was in Dubai some time ago, and you see, when they released iPhone 16, I think, 16, the queue in a shop, what are these guys doing? They are waiting for iPhone to buy iPhone. Now, I'm carrying my money. I want to buy it. I have to come and queue. That is how foolish some Christians are. Hello? God said there's something called seed time, and there's another called harvest time. The second part of it, don't forget, I talked about life principle out of the scripture we read in Isaiah, came down to Genesis. Now I'm going to Psalms 126, and that would wrap up my message. The first life I talked about was the principle of reciprocity. Hello? Somebody is forgetting. God willing, next week I'll continue. But Psalm 126 is a very popular one that you also know. I think God ordained that we should learn something about all those ones that we know. He said, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Come on, say. Come on, say. Now, then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. Pause. I'll continue from there. Hello? Now, this is it something that we know? Do we know about this psalm? Okay, do you know about it? Now, when the Lord brought again the captivity of Zion, in other words, when our story changed, we got a new job. Now, we were in Vienna the other time. I don't know whether Ohima was there. Were you part of Meg's wedding in Vienna? You were not there. But we were there. We celebrated beautiful wedding. Now see, young people buying cars. Some are buying properties and stuff like that. Yeah, the psalmist said that our tongue was filled with singing. Then they said, in other words, your testimony will be so big that people will talk about you. Hello? Now, your testimony will be so loud that everybody will see it. You cannot hide it. Hallelujah. Because even the nation said among them that the Lord has done great things for them. The next verse, sir. The next verse, sir. The next verse. The next verse. The next verse. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Now, this man, may the Lord do something great for you. Bring back our captivity, oh Lord, as the streams in the south. Go, sir. Go, sir. Go, sir. Those who sow in what? Come on here. Come on here. Those who sow in what? They shall do what? Hallelujah. Don't forget, seconds ago, I spoke about the principle of reciprocity, where there's a seed time and there's a harvest time. In other words, come on here, that the captivity that was turned, the testimony that came, it didn't pop out from the sky. There were some people sowing in tears, and now they are reaping in joy. Am I talking to somebody here? So if you are eating your savings today, there shall be nothing to reap in the harvest time. So it is not about receiving the prophetic words, but it takes conscious effort and deliberate action to sow in tears that today, even though I've not eaten three times today, let me say something that my children will not be found wanting. Trust me, I'm a father by God's grace, in all humility. One of the worst things that can happen to you as a man is when your child asks you for something very pertinent, important, and you cannot provide. Now, if you do not sow in tears today, may that never be your story. I said, may that never be your story. He said, all the nations were talking about them. So like I mentioned, you see somebody holding hand in hand with a wife. Come on here. He hasn't been a bed of roses. He has been a deliberate attempt to ignore some annoying things in the bedroom. They sow in tears and they reap in joy. The next verse. The next verse. Come on here. Now, so he who continually, remember in my first, oh Jesus Christ, if you are following me, I talked about repetition I talked about regularity. I talked about routinely. And now here, the psalmist is saying that he who continually, in other words, you must do the thing, but you must not do once and stop. You must do it continually. Even if you read the Bible, statistics have said, if you want to be a champion, now, if you read the Bible 15 minutes a day, by the end of the year, you would have read the whole Bible. Oh, 15 minutes is too long. You divide it in the morning, 7.5 minutes. In the evening, 7.5. The whole year, you conquer the Bible. Oh, 7.5 minutes is too big. Okay, in the morning, 5 minutes. Can you tell me that you cannot read the Bible for 5 minutes in the morning? In the afternoon, 5 minutes. In the evening, 5 minutes. Now, you can stand and watch things on TikTok for 5 hours. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with what? Come on here. So we are spiritual. We are coming to the house of God every time. And then today is the Thanksgiving service. Some people are going to give testimonies. I tell you what, that testimony, the miracle that we desire.
Said the Lord turned again the captivity. We have not taken the part of God out. But I tell you what, I went about sowing in tears.
Now you are going on holiday. I'm saving my money. Now you come and tell me that it's emergency. Can you give me something else? Emergency. Well,
and then a week ago or something, I received a message like that. So I sent it to my sister in the US and they said, boy, you are in trouble. Why? Because the person said, this one, not only emergency, but urgent. You say, so this one is emergency and urgent.
Now, your lack of planning shouldn't be my headache. Hello? Your lack of planning shouldn't be my headache. Because you see, your wife is pregnant. And you know, whatever be the case, if Jesus tarries, within 42 weeks, that baby must come out.
Don't tell me that you don't have anything. How?
Emergency and urgent. The Bible says, we who continually goes for weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless. In other words, it can never fail. Once you sow, something must come out. It might not be a big. And this story I was talking about, I started saving only 5,000 crowns. This was 2018. When my wife asked me, what do you use your money for? And I said, only 5,000 crowns, at least 5,000 crowns a month. In COVID, by the time of COVID, I say to the glory of God, if you continually go forward, your money might not be as big. Even if you say 500 crowns, 1,000 crowns, I tell you what, one day, doubtlessly, the Bible says you will come again with rejoicing. There's one young man we are dealing with by God's grace in all humility in Prague. And I tell you what, that guy, I believe, never thought that he was going to go down with a certain terrible, terrible sickness. He who continually goes forth weeping.
Lord, turn again the captivity of Zion.
So I speak to somebody under the sound of my voice today. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. You want to be on your feet this moment. I've spoken about precept upon precept. God willing, next week I'll be talking about here a little, there a little.
When the girl, the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were limp, like they that dream.
Today is the first of March 2026. Whatever has gone waste within the first 2 months, let it be gone. And begin to have a conscious mind. The precept upon precept. your marriage, be it your relationship, be it your career, be it your home, be it everything you are involved in, your business, everything that you're desiring to see the bigger side of it. You want to see a million, whichever currency.
I believe a million Zimbabwean dollar will be like 25 crowns, right? Sister Abiso, I'm asking you a question. How much a million Zimbabwean dollar in check? You don't know because you don't send money to anybody. Hey! See. Go to the previous verse, officer. He who sow in tears.
If you did not catch anything today at all,
remember to sow in tears. You want to see your child come out as a champion one day, sow in tears. You want to see the business blossom and employ thousands, sow in tears. You want to see that beautiful home 50 years after, and you are the only one your husband has known, you are the only man your wife has known, sow in tears. He who sow in tears shall reap in joy. What is your mind and what are you thinking about today? Precept upon precept. Repetition, regularity, and routinely. If your heart says that I won't go again, you're in trouble. If the earth says I won't revolve around the sun again, we are in trouble. If the season to stop, that's the routine. Look into your life and make a conscious resolution that from today, precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, you want to say a word of prayer and says that, Lord, help me to alter my wasteful life.